from the advertising media capital of the world, New Milford, Connecticut, wherever that is. This is Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson. Now, here's your host, Matt Wilson.
Ah, yes. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson. Oh, so much to get to today. We're going to talk about a new Netflix subscription plan coming out and how that could benefit us all in the automotive industry. Also, yesterday I was driving around in the car and it occurred to me that Kid Rock cannot rhyme. So we'll touch on that. Also today, what is your least favorite way to get pitched? You know, people reaching out to you, trying to get you to listen to their pitch. We'll share some LinkedIn folks' least favorite ways to get pitched at the end of the show. But first today, we are going to talk about YouTube. Oh man, I love YouTube. I watch YouTube so much. I watch music clips. I watch weekend update clips. And I watch automotive content because I work in the automotive industry. And I was shopping for a car last year. I was shopping for a Jeep. I don't know. I must have watched 1,000 Jeep clips before I bought my Jeep. And I thought, if you're going to talk YouTube, you got to bring in the YouTube guy. Everybody knows the YouTube guy because he's the guy. Let's bring him in. You may know him as Jeff Hunter, General Motors Jeff. He's also now, and we'll talk about this, the head of operations at CarBiz Social. What's going on, man? How are you, Jeff?
Finally, we've had this come together. The stars have finally aligned. I'm excited to be here, and thanks for having me on. And it's actually good timing that we finally get the stars aligned because obviously a lot changing for me in my professional life right now.
Yeah, we've been trying to get together on an episode for quite some time, communicating back and forth on LinkedIn, and you are a busy dude, and so I'm glad we finally got together. Before we talk about your awesome new gig and what you're up to, let's just talk about sort of the genesis of your YouTube journey, the beginning. And a lot of times, you know, the way to relate this to dealers is a lot of times with social media, in my opinion, or YouTube, or any kind of social media, is that like it's the daunting part for dealers or salespeople or marketing people is like, where do I start? What I think a lot of it is, what do I do? Like, I know I have to post, but what do I do? So how did you get past that hurdle and what made you sort of get into the YouTube thing at your Chevy dealer in Canada, right?
Yeah. So first of all, you have to press the red button. I mean, you just have to do that, right? So just get out there and start filming. But no, for me, what it was I had somebody in the dealership I was always pretty social media savvy. My father ran a power sports dealership, Yamaha dealership up here in Canada. And well before most people were doing any kind of marketing, I was already running a channel on there to promote our, you know, accessories and clothing and things like that. And so, you know, I already had that part kind of down a bit, but I didn't like to be on camera. I didn't like to, you know, do the video part of it, right? So I'm not sure if this is pausing on you, by the way. Is this good?
Nope, I got you. You're good.
Okay. So basically what I did was I had somebody in the dealership encourage me to go, you know what, you have to do videos. You have to start doing it there because nobody in our area, especially, you know, was doing anything like that. So if you want to separate yourself, you need to do that. So I'm like, okay, well, whatever. So basically I started doing simple walk around videos. The first video I did was on a 2018. I can still remember the 2018 Chevy Traverse. And I took it off site because I didn't want anybody to see me or anything like that. And I literally just walked around the vehicle with the product knowledge I already had. Right. And I mean, of course I read up on it first and did all that kind of stuff. And I did 6 or 7 or 8 minute video, whatever it was, just walking around the vehicle. Now, probably the first year or more, I didn't show myself at all. It was literally just walking around the vehicle. And then the YouTube part came in because all I was doing was just putting them on there as a library. So typically what I was doing is focusing on Facebook, that's how I'd interact with my customers, you know, especially more locally. And then I would just put it on there as a library, you know, to save them, right, the videos onto YouTube. And then all of a sudden they started getting traction there. And then it just kind of took from there.
Do you think that part of people's nervousness for getting started is that they almost feel like they want to make it perfect before they start? You know, like, oh, well, I got to get good at it before I start doing it. And that's a mistake, common mistake, right?
100%. And so trolls are not really as prevalent as much as you would think that they are, first and foremost. So if that's what people are worried about, my only recommendation and my only thing that I want to make sure that I get across is you definitely don't need to make things perfect. You know, I've done videos where I went to go unlock the door and it was locked. I had to get the key into my pocket. You know what I mean? And just kept flowing. That's more natural. What it is what you want to do is you want to make sure you have your information right. So if you stumble on a word, the camera falls on your hand, you know, whatever it is, don't worry about any of that stuff. That doesn't have to be polished. What needs to be polished though is your product knowledge. The only thing you can't slip up on is not knowing what you're talking about. So if you don't know, don't say it. And if you mess up on something, go back and correct it. But that's the only thing I can say is, that's very quick to lose credibility. So the credibility means almost more than anything else, more than the quality, more than anything else, is making sure you know what the heck it is you're talking about. Because I look back at my first videos and even now my quality is not polished. And that's actually on purpose. But, back then, especially, it was shaky. I didn't have a GoPro. I didn't have I can't even think of the word right now, but anything to help it so that the phone wasn't shaking. Right.
Yeah,
so
like a gyroscope.
Yeah. So I didn't have anything like that. And it still got views because people were listening because I knew what it was and they were interested in that vehicle. Right. And it's only, of course, grown, especially through COVID, obviously, with people now realizing, hey, I'm going to do a lot of my research at home before I go to a dealership.
I almost think too, that look, just same thing with this podcast, like the casual conversational type thing resonates with people more than like the professional, glossy, like OEM type video. Like I want to see the local guy talking to me about the car, not the guy who created the car, like I want a regular guy like me. That's who I want to watch.
Yeah. And so, a lot of people ask me how I do things. And up until about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I was only and primarily just using my cell phone. In fact, this is how I edit everything. That's how I do everything. It's just on my cell phone. I got a GoPro recently because what I like about the GoPro is I can switch it back and forth to my face, the vehicle, whatever. Yeah. My phone wouldn't allow me to do that. But I edit everything on there still. And, some people are like, well, why don't you get somebody to come and edit for you? Why don't you get some? And I'm like, because what I find is, and I can say this firsthand is, yeah, exactly like you're saying. They want somebody who's out there talking about the vehicle as though they're with them, as opposed to when everything's so polished, it looks like it's coming from the manufacturer. And how often do people just turn off ads to the manufacturer because they're so used to seeing them? And it's no different with a video. If it's almost too overproduced, and it depends on what you're doing, but if it's just a simple walk around, you're trying to get across to a customer, and you can do beta tests on this. You can put a video that's, polished from, manufacturer has a great picture of the car. You can have one that has a picture of a salesman's face with the car in the background, way more clicks on that one than on the other, just because it does come across more natural.
I think too, like when I used to talk to people on the dealership level about it, when I worked at a dealer about being nervous about starting, is I always told a story about, I used to work in radio, and when I started in radio, I worked weekend overnight. So I worked from 12 a.m. to 7 a.m. on the radio station. And there was a much smaller audience than if you're working in the mornings during the week. And so I had a chance to sort of like hone my craft. And I listen back now to cassettes, believe it or not, like actual cassettes here for those watching. I'm mortified at how I sounded. Because it was terrible. But not only that, like you're not going to have a million views in your first bunch of videos. So it's okay to not be perfect at it. That being said, do you think it takes a certain kind of person? Like I was talking to a friend this morning who I used to work with, and she it was a natural on camera. She was in a couple commercials, and we would do, the occasional YouTube video at the dealership. And she had no prior experience, but she was a natural. And some people just, maybe are shy. It's not their personality. Are those people that can be pushed to do it? Or are there just some people that it's like, it's just not going to be comfortable. They're not going to be comfortable with it.
Yeah, I think there's different things those people can do. They don't have to be the personality in front. They can, maybe do, even if they're doing videos, if it's to walk around to music or whatever, you know what I mean? They can still, there's still video content they can do, but most certainly, the one biggest thing for me was I believe it was my authenticity that also came through. Like I love the product I was talking about. I was genuinely excited about it. I was genuinely excited about doing the video. And I think that people can quickly, just like they can tell with a salesperson when they're talking, they can quickly tell whether they're being, authentic or not. Right. So yeah, if it's being forced on you, and it's not something you're comfortable with, I don't think it'll ever come through properly. So again, I do think there's other things you can do. Definitely a lot of things social media you can do. Definitely you still video content you can do without being like the forefront, you know, maybe of it. Yeah, you're going to lose a little bit because of that, because of course the whole reason you want your face is so people recognize you when you come in and so on. But there's other ways around that. But I kind of tend to think that I don't believe I was a natural, but I had I had a desire to do it, and it came across I still hope it comes across as authentic, and you can tell if it's not. So
how important is it, do you think, for management, or if it's a salesperson, like a sales manager, to be on board with that, with the salesperson doing it, right? Like, you have to have support, because if you're going to spend time of your day in the lot, driving to an area, shooting the car or whatever, how important is it for management to be bought into that? Because otherwise you're like, there's stress between, you know, you're not in the showroom, you're shooting a video. How important is it for management to be on board with that?
Yeah, that's massive. And that's where I was lucky that the dealership I work for, you know, afforded me that ability to do that. I think that there's a big window that we sort of lost where we had, you know, a lot of extra time that people could have been practicing on this when we didn't have a lot of inventory on the lot. So you don't have as many customers coming in. But no, I believe it's massive to have that sales manager behind you for a couple reasons. And the one thing I did a video on almost probably 2 years ago now on LinkedIn was, I also talked to the fact that, you know, as much as sales managers need to buy in, they also need to know what's going on, what it's about, rather than just saying, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. Well, that's all great and fine, but unless you're telling and teaching somebody how to do a video, they may be okay. They might not be shy, but you know, I know a lot of guys I work with that are outgoing. They're salespeople. So most salespeople are pretty outgoing to begin with. You kind of have to be.
Yeah, right. Of course.
And so most people have that personality to do it. It's just that I venture to say 95% of people don't do it because they don't know how. They don't know where to start. And that's where the uncomfortability is. It's not the uncomfortability with talking about the product. And that starts from management down. If you're not teaching or getting somebody to tell your people how to do it properly and just saying, here, go take your phone and do a video, well, they're not going to, because they're so intimidated by it. And they don't want to, like you say, they don't want to look stupid. They don't want to look silly, whatever it is. And it's easy to do if you're not comfortable with first of all, how to even start.
At what point after starting do you think you started to say to yourself, oh, this is benefiting me and it's benefiting my dealership?
It wasn't that long. It was like, you know, with less than a year. I know it sounds big, but if you're doing this as a career, that's like such a small window of time. And it took a while to develop. It's weird because I saw it on Facebook much quicker, just like as I did posts, I did pictures, I did, you know, whatever else. It wasn't always just video, of course. The video started to take off, you know, a little bit later in, but again, it was due to consistency too, though. Yeah. Right. And, it's something that it doesn't happen overnight. And then anybody that expects that, that's the problem, is a lot of people expect that immediate gratification that as soon as I do it, I'm going to have all these views and all these people are going to come in. And it's a matter of, you have to do it and have to keep doing it, and that consistency. And then the ball starts rolling. And it's like a snowball going downhill. It just gets bigger as it goes faster. Right.
So Instagram and Facebook is littered with car guys who started like a car page and then gave up 3 weeks later.
100%. Even dealerships. There's even dealerships too.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay. So you were doing this, very successful. It started to click and work for you. And you know, you don't need to self-deprecate yourself on sounding natural. Your videos are fantastic. I watch them. You do a great job. At what point did you say, cause I know that you've recently been moving around a little bit. So at what point were you like, okay, here's the next thing I'm going to do with this skill that I've developed over the years. And here's why I'm making the move. Like, at what point did that occur to you?
I mean, it's been the last probably 2 years I've really, you know, been realizing how much I enjoy this part of it, the social part of it, the video aspect of it. I've never been a pushy salesperson. I've always been somebody that knows all the information, knows my stuff, but I'm not the person that's hounding somebody. And so I don't think I was as successful in sales as I could have been had I been more aggressive. And so part of it was, I liked that the side where I was helping educate. But I wasn't like, you know, being the salesperson. Yeah. So I transitioned what I found was, I was doing all these videos and a lot of it was product of where I live. So I live in a small community. We have about 70,000 people here. And so unfortunately with the salespeople we have, a lot of people come in the door, they already know a certain salesperson. So I was doing all this work, bringing all these people in, and I would walk by an office or whatever, and I would hear them say, oh, I saw Jeff's video up. And I'm like, what the heck? Like,
you're welcome.
They've known, you know, this salesperson and their family for the last 20 years. Like, right. You know, so, and, you know, when I walked in, there was already people that had been there for a number of years. So I was like, well, okay, how can I still do this, but benefit myself? And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this through the dealership. And then I realized, you know, there's only so much I can do and so much I can grow and so much money, honestly, I can make by doing it in a small dealership like this. So I thought, you know, I need to branch out and do it on a much larger scale where I can help a lot of people. Because I do have a desire, as much as I love doing the videos and desire to help people in their vehicle purchases know about the GM vehicles, I also have a desire, you know, to help salespeople and dealerships learn how they can do this the way that I did and be successful at it. Especially, like I said, when you live in a major center where it's a bit more of a revolving door, people don't necessarily know you need to stand out from that crowd. And because as much as you say, there's people who have tried it and stopped, it, you know, it's such a small portion of people who are actually doing this and doing this properly that if you get on it now, and I said this 2 years ago and people stop it, but if you get on it now, you're still going to be that much further ahead of the game once people really start, especially the younger crowd that's coming into the dealership, starts picking up on this and realizing, oh, wow, this is how I can separate myself.
Do you think it has to be YouTube, or could people start with TikTok and the other social platforms that are out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you need to be on as many as possible, but I also think you need to concentrate on one or two at most first and get those nailed first. And then you branch out from there. I still believe, as archaic as it is and old as it might seem, I still believe that Facebook is the way that, salespeople should start first and foremost, because that's the best way, I think, to interact with your potential clients. And you can do all kinds of posts there, right? As opposed to TikTok being video only, you know, you can do pictures, you can do blogs, you can do all sorts of things on your Facebook. And then you can do videos on your Facebook that you can repurpose and use on, you know, things like TikTok and stuff as well, or Instagram, of course, too. So,
talk to me about CarBiz Social, because this looks pretty exciting. Yeah. I read your post and your update earlier in the week. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I'm pumped. So, you know, I've known Sean Welsh for a number of years, a few years now. Went down and met him in Wisconsin back in 2019. And this was after we'd already been talking quite a bit through LinkedIn. And then, you know, we've talked ever since that point. And I've always admired his straight to itness, I think he's very much like myself in the fact that he's very genuine in the fact he wants to help people. It's not, you know, I just want to make a quick buck. Right. And so first and foremost, that's what attracted me to go to, you know, CarBiz Done Better, CarBiz Done Better company. But yeah, I'm going to be doing what they call the social arm now. So actually the branding is going to be a little different. We're going to have green and black as opposed to the red. And but it's going to be helping dealerships, with their social media. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, there's just so much being done wrong. I cringe when I look at so many different dealerships and salespeople as to, they're spending money, they're throwing money at it, they're doing things, but they're not doing it properly. So it's a matter of literally like you're spinning your wheels, for lack of better terminology. So I feel like I have a lot to offer through this new portion of the company where I've got the social media background where I know that aspect of it. And then I also have the automotive background. Because it's not only just a matter of doing social, it's the automotive industry is its own industry where you need to focus on certain things and do certain things. And I know what those things are. And so I believe that, right now we've got about 18 dealers. We don't have a website or anything yet, so don't even go looking for it, because honestly that, you know, we're just trying to concentrate on what we've got right now in order to make sure that's perfect. And then
what a great plug. What a great plug. What a great plug. We don't have a website.
Well, no, here's the thing. No, I know, right? No, I know. No, but that's the thing was we didn't. We wanted to work with the people that we've got currently and you know, show evidence of, you know, here because we know it's gonna work. We want to show all that, and we want to concentrate on those dealers for now. And we are gonna be obviously opening it up. There's only gonna be, you know, again, if anybody watched my videos, there's only gonna be, you know, so many people that we can help, obviously, because I only have so many hours in a day with which to coach people, and I want to do it properly. I don't want to spread myself too thin where I'm not giving my 110% to everybody. So, when people have questions, reach out to CarBiz. CarBiz Done Better, and reach out to Sean Welsh, because he's the one that basically is going to be controlling, you know, how we're doing this, how the plans are worked out. And I'm just the guy that's going to be, you know, telling you how to work your social media better. So
are we going to still see General Motors videos from you on YouTube?
Absolutely. All right, In fact, you know, the hope with all this is that I'm going to have more time for content creation. You know, beautiful part is I can work from home now, so I can work in the evenings and, you know, I'm going to be putting a lot of hours in, but I can do it at the, you know, convenient time. So it allows me to do some more, you know, on the off days, I can do more content videos that, you know, I've been doing a lot more with General Motors recently. So, you know, if I was working in a dealership, I wouldn't be afforded the time to order these things and do that, where I can, you know, still work in a hotel room or whatever, like I can do with this job. So
that's good to know, because you can't, because you don't want to lose General Motors, Jeff, like that. You got to keep the name, everyone, you know, like, so good. You still got to work with General Motors and do General Motors walkarounds, because you can't lose the name.
Well, and here's the thing, on top of all that, I mean, as I've said in my video before, you know, I'm doing all the platforms. I'm just getting on TikTok, if you can believe it or not. I just haven't had the time to do it.
Yeah.
So I've just started to really delve into TikTok. But of course, my Instagram is growing, my Facebook, I've just started to go back to that, because I wasn't at the doing that from the dealership perspective, and YouTube, of course. But the reason I'm doing all these is not only just for myself and to keep that brand up, but it's also because I want to be the beta tester for these dealerships. So when I'm doing things and I can see things changing or things tweaking on social media, whether depending on what channel it is, I'm like, oh, okay, I see this is working for me. Let's do this, right? Because I'm still the automotive industry. Yes, I'm a personality, but a lot of things I'm doing will transition over. And so I can use myself as a test rather than trying to test things on the dealers as we go along. Right. I already know it works.
Yeah.
And we implement it. So it's twofold for me. It's going to help me on my own side, but it's also going to help on the business side.
I love it. Jeff Hunter, General Motors, Jeff, head of operations at CarBiz Social. You know him from online if you're in the industry. And I'm glad we got to do this, man. Finally, great to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on, man.
All you got to do it. Have a good weekend.
Take care, Matt. You too.
All right. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Netflix. New Netflix news, a new subscription program package for Netflix is coming out, and how it can affect our industry coming up in just a few minutes. Thanks, Jeff, for coming on. I appreciate it, having him on. Great talk. Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson, brought to you by Auto Dealer Network TV. Think about what's going on right now in your customer sitting area. Right? They're sitting around on couches in the waiting area, waiting for their car to be done in the service department, watching CNN. Angry television. And what are they about to see? A commercial for your competition located right down the road. What? That's kind of a worst case scenario, right? Well, Auto Dealer Network TV solves that problem. No angry or controversial programming in your waiting area. Did I say that right? Controversial. Yeah. Anyway, no angry or controversial programming in your waiting area. No other dealers or manufacturers' commercials in the eye face holes of your customer. Yeah. You know, you need Auto Dealer Network TV, private television from people, though, people TV. So professional television programs, no controversy, and your commercials from your store and your OEM. It's the best case scenario for your waiting areas. Auto Dealer Network TV. Find them online at autodealernetwork.tv. Yes. Now back to the show.
I can't do it. We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live.
All right, we're back live here on Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson. Yes. Okay, so there is some Netflix news out that I kind of wanted to share that I thought would be cool. Netflix is launching its cheaper ad-supported tier next month. Yes. By the way, this is the loudest piece of clothing to be wearing on a podcast. It makes so much noise. What a stupid idea. Anyway, yeah, Netflix is coming out with a subscription plan with commercials. Netflix with ads will cost $6.99 a month in the U.S. and will launch in 12 countries beginning in November. The new plan, officially called Basic with Ads, will complement its existing free plans. Basic will be $9.99 a month. Standard is $15.49 a month, and premium is $20 a month. Other countries will have different pricing. Netflix says the service will have between 4 and 5 minutes of ads per hour, using 15 to 30 second commercials, including pre-roll ads and then commercials within TV shows and movies. A little bit of a different approach. Like, so movies will have pre-roll. They're not going to stop the movie in the middle to run an ad. And then TV shows will have ads in the middle. Jeremy Gorman, Netflix president of worldwide advertising, said Thursday that Netflix is nearly sold out of all of its inventory already, with hundreds of advertisers signed on for the launch. Not a surprise. Not a surprise at all, because everyone on the planet watches Netflix. Gorman also told reporters that the data collected will only be used to support advertising on Netflix. They're not going to create profiles for targeting elsewhere. So you're not going to be able to target by all types of different data points. They'll target by country and genre, but you're not going to target by all kinds of different data points on you. Netflix surprised its employees in April when the CEO, co-CEO Reed Hastings, announced the plan to get into advertising during its quarterly earnings call. November 3rd is the day this package will be available to us in the United States. And then next year, you'll have a chance to get into it for the advertising. And it'll be interesting to see from our standpoint as the automotive industry, and then for me from the agency side, at what level and at what CPM will tier two ads be available. In the article I was reading, they were saying that the advertisers that have pre-signed up are across all different advertising verticals. So I don't have any data to back it up, but I'm sure automotive is in there. I'm sure that tier one automotive will be running ads as soon as this package comes out. But I'm interested in seeing when tier two and tier three will be looped in. And then like, what's the cost going to be? Is there going to be a minimum spend? What's the CPM going to be? It'll be interesting to see. And I'll keep my eyes out for that information and share it here on the podcast when I can. Before we wrap up, let me talk about how ridiculous Kid Rock is. I was listening to All Summer Long the other day in the car. You know, the one with that samples Warren Zevon's, what's the Warren Zevon song? Werewolves of London. The one that samples Werewolves of London. Well, I was listening to the song and I don't understand what Kid Rock thinks a rhyme is. He rhymes internet with forget. We didn't have no internet, but man, I never will forget. Internet and forget do not rhyme. And then in the next line, he rhymes a word with itself. We didn't have no and we were trying different things and we were smoking funny things. Those don't rhyme. You can't rhyme a word with itself. That's cheating. And then he says, sipping whiskey out the bottle, not thinking about tomorrow. Bottle and tomorrow do not rhyme either. That's just lazy songwriting, kid. Tomorrow and bottle do not rhyme. Internet and forget do not rhyme. And you cannot rhyme a word with itself. We were trying different things. We were smoking funny things. Smoking what? I don't know what he's talking about there. I'm not sure what that means. Anyway, one more quick break. Please bear with me while we do one more quick break. And then we're going to talk about a post I saw on LinkedIn about getting pitched. We're all getting pitched, right? Whether you're a dealer, a salesperson, an agency person, we pitch each other. What's your least favorite way to get pitched? And what ways work on you? And do you take pitches? We'll talk about that as I saw on LinkedIn in just a minute. All right, back on Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson, Friday morning live. So I was on Netflix, and I'm not going to use any names here because I didn't talk to this person and get permission to use their name. So I was on, did I say Netflix? I was on LinkedIn, and I saw a guy make a post about how he feels about being pitched on LinkedIn. And we're all pitched on LinkedIn on a regular basis, I'm sure, right? We're always getting pitched. And he asked people, like, what's your least favorite tactic used by salespeople or anyone trying to pitch you or sell you something on LinkedIn? And we saw some interesting responses. So one guy says, the most intrusive, I think, is when people subscribe you to their email list without permission, or they start sending you endless cold emails. Someone else says, sometimes she likes the direct pitch slap if their service is good and hits on exact pain points. Now, I got to say, a lot of people complain about getting pitched online. And I am going to say that I actually don't mind it. Now, one of the things that I work on is innovation within my company. And I don't think, and the people in my company don't think, that we're the smartest people on the planet, or that we know everything. So I am open, I'm open to hearing what other people have to offer and evaluating it. I'll ask questions. I enjoy hearing what's going on in our industry and in digital marketing and in programmatic and all that stuff. And I will entertain pitches. I'll pick a specific day or two of the week that I do them, and I'll set the expectation of the person, like, I don't have an hour and a half to do this pitch, but I'll ask good questions, and I like to evaluate what's going on. And also, as an agency person, I think it's good karma to listen to pitches, because we, or me and people in my company, are making pitches to people, and we want to be treated correctly. We're treated right. So I complain about it, and I get a lot of them. But when I worked on the dealer level, I got a million of them. But, I'm nice to the person. A couple other things. What about the old pitch slap? Typically sent immediately after accepting the connection request. You know that. Someone connects with you, you click accept, and then 2 seconds later, bam, capital letters or two paragraphs on what I can do for you. That one kind of annoys me. I like the emails. Send me an email, write it like you're a human being, not a form or a CRM letter, and I might get back to you. Another one is they connect with you and don't send a single direct message, and then suddenly you're on their newsletter. I get this one a lot. A direct message saying how much they love your content, and they've never reacted or commented on any post. I get that one a lot. Hey, man, love the podcast. Love what you're doing with Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson. Think it's really cool. By the way, I can help you by charging you $1,000 a month to edit some videos for you or something. Sometimes I'll make a comment about it to see if they're listening. And a lot of times they don't. That's just a BS way to get in contact with you. You don't like my content. You never heard my content at all. You just saw that I have a podcast and you reached out to me because you thought you could make some money off me. But anyway, I think it's good karma. I think it's good karma to take pitches. And I think if you do it, you're admitting that you don't know everything. And that's okay too. If you turn down every pitch, then, you know, I think you need to be open to innovation and open to learning and open to getting better, you know? But I also get it. You're busy. When I was in the dealership level, I didn't have time to listen to everybody who wanted to pitch me. I would have spent all my time in pitches. All right, wrapping up this episode of Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson, Friday morning live edition. Appreciate you listening. Hope you all have a good weekend. And we'll talk to you next Friday.
Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson is brought to you by... Wait, this guy has sponsors? Oh, never mind. This sheet of paper's blank. No sponsors. That makes more sense. For updates, info, future episodes, and more, follow on Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, like on Facebook, and connect on Frackle. You guys made that last one up. That's not even a thing, Frackle. Come on.